Welcome back to episode 196. Joe, how are you doing?
I'm just fine, Tim. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Well, another week. Did you catch Joe Biden's press conference, his first?
I'm still just tingling with excitement.
Well, the White House press corps was socially distanced and responsibly masked. I think they all had two masks on. And they were floored by Joe Biden's wit. His ability to turn a phrase. He accused Republicans of, I think, of trying to reimpose slavery by opposing the I think the election reform bill that passed House representatives, apparently requiring voters to produce a valid ID before voting is tantamount to Jim Crow or slavery. But that's probably pretty much. I didn't watch the press conference, of course. I saw bits and pieces of it, and course, the guy looked, just completely weathered, tired, out of it. It's an open secret or an open joke now about his cognitive decline, which is can be charted by the day now. So I don't know if they're going to keep him instilled there, sort of a weekend at Bernie's presidency, or kind of usher him off the stage, invoke the 25th Amendment at some point, or whether that even makes a difference, right, at this point, the presidency, who's in there, what empty suit or empty head happens to occupy the White House.
No, it doesn't make any difference. It's absolutely irrelevant. He was selected because he is decomposing,
mm-hmm.
and that's the message that they want to give to the American people in terms of the essence of the political reality. I mean, on one hand, you have Biden, his decomposition is just vivid. Good heavens, when you see him on the screen. And then on the other side, Harris, she has qualifications of basically being a prostitute. So this is the message that we're getting. This, it's the alchemical aspect of, why they selected these two. They're a degenerate decomposing couple in the literal sense, and we're supposed to be depressed and lose essence looking at this the way we look at the clown world and we go, oh, just throw our hands up and go, there's nothing we can do, it's impossible to get anything accomplished, everyone is incompetent, everyone is crazy, and so now we're given the idea that to restore our personal lives, we have to take the vaccine. I know you probably caught that Boris Johnson's idea that there would be pub passports. So if you want to go into the pub and have a few Burton Ale pints, you have to show your papers. And I was disappointed to read that they're claiming that Britain has vaccinated 95% of the people over 60, which I'm not sure if it's true. I mean, I've talked to some Brits and they say there's more resistance than that. Maybe when we go down the age groups, we'll start getting more active resistance. But Britain, of course, has been now locked down as a nation. You can't leave it. If you saw the regulation that they've put into effect starting Monday, you have to have a valid reason, excuse for travel, and there are enormous fines if your excuse is not a correct one. I've read the list; it's completely incoherent. Religious pilgrimage is not on it. If you want to see an elderly parent, you have to have a reasonable belief that they're dying. Now, what is that? How would you prove that in a court of law? I'm going to be doing an interview next week, that it's in Britain, and I'm just going to go for it. I'm just going to say, look, genocide. You have to find a way to resist. The people who don't understand at this point are simply, they're not going perhaps ever be able to be turned into someone who can, think clearly. So those of you who have the understanding of what's going on, you need to, with desperation, to organize as best you can and come up with plans to, basically last out, as long as you can, because the genocide, Tim, I mean, it's a medical sort of sanctioned genocide. They've used the health system as the rationale. But don't you think it should be getting clear that it really is genocide now? It isn't, some kind of financial or political maneuver. I mean, they are really going to start having huge reductions in population because the economy's wrecked. The health and psychology of the citizens, they've been locked up in and out of their homes for over a year. I mean, it's just, there's it's hard to imagine that, they haven't already killed, I don't know, tens of millions of people, and there's another tranche that's ready to go. And all of this, justified by a fake PCR test for the COVID, and in direct defiance of things like Sweden and Florida and now Texas, which are opened up and are not having any negative effects beyond what the lockdown regions are having.
Yeah, I think Britain, there's a bill in the parliament that officially changed Great Britain's name to Oceania in honor of George Orwell, with the turning that place into. It's stunning to see just how compliant they are. I mean, it's almost like what percentage of the population is non-thinking? I guess they just go through life, without questioning anything. They just view reality through the prism of government pronouncements, news shows, the mainstream press, and all they do is take orders. They can't do anything else but take orders, and they're unable to observe, what's just right before their very eyes, and they think there's a horrible, virus out there, pandemic's gonna kill them if they don't take the jab, and they abide by these lockdowns. It's something to behold. I mean, at least in the United States, it's varied. You go from state to state. I guess there it's more unified, so it's quicker. But you'd think, the Scot Irish would be more rebellious given their history. But at this point, it's a cult, and I think they're being led to slaughter, like a lot of cult members. And they just simply can't. They've invested so much in the narrative, they can't simply bring themselves to question at this point. Regardless, that's going to lead to their destruction, their demise. It's it's a disturbing study in mass psychology. But they knew they were doing this when they unleashed this thing. The whole thing with masks, muzzling, and all that's imposed a slave mentality, and all the psychological effects that you cite, the increased mortality rate, the just the drug addiction, alcoholism, and they all knew that was going to happen. It's not a side effect. It's a intended consequence of these policies.
Sure, and very cleverly designed, you have to admit, wherein when you rebel, you are in operation against the interests of the public, right? If you don't wear a mask, you're endangering grandma. If you don't get the jab, you're threatening your children, So they have these clever sort of structures that make the people who rebel have resistance to them, by the kind of simple-minded individual. For the last year, we've been talking about this, different ideas about what might be able to be done. I really think at this point, if you are of a mind that this is genocide, you just have to switch gears because I honestly think that the vaccine will be the kind of stairway into oblivion. I don't know how the vaccine is going to play out. And I don't know if it's even the one that we're being given is, in fact, the, you know, the death bell. I have no idea. It could just be, you know, if it's a slow motion process, it could be that they will, you know, have a need for another one and another one. And it's down the line after we're used to it that the final blow will really be delivered. But I tend to doubt that. And what I do believe is that the one we're getting has the capacity to reduce population dramatically, but it won't be for quite a while because it had to have been designed in that way in order to get everyone vaccinated. You know, there's different theories out about how it'll be done. You know, the common one is that the innate immune system will lose the capacity to deal with, you know, more novel pathogens, microbes. And so you will basically be in the world without a functioning immune system in a few years. Okay, so that's one idea. Since there was no long-term and satisfactory animal safety trials done, in other words, this was, you know, the vaccine was started to give people under the Emergency Authorization Act, you have to be worried about malevolence. And, you know, I would say that anyone who, you know, understands 911 as a government project, oh, man, do not roll up your sleeve. Think more clearly about what you're doing. It's been very disappointing to me in the last month, 3 weeks, to see so many people that I know have agreed to take the jab, even though I tried to talk them out of it.
Yeah, what's really disturbing is the government has actually a specific program employing behavioral psychologists to advise on government strategy to convince people to take the vaccine, to drop their resistance to it. At the same time, there is a coordinated effort within the media and also government to suppress dissident voices, those skeptical of it. And it seems to me that just on the principle of informed consent, they should be encouraging all sides of the debate on this matter so people can make an informed decision to accept it. I mean, how do you make an informed decision if there's a concerted effort by the government and the media, of course, which is owned by the corporations, which are heavily invested in pharmaceutical companies, which are making a lot of money on the vaccine, and they're actually suppressing opinion that is skeptical of the so-called vaccine. And the fact that they would employ psychologists to manipulate people.
I was going to say, the protests last weekend were worldwide and massive, and there was no reporting of them whatsoever in the United States.
No. In Europe, I think it was in Zero Hedge, an article. Yeah, thousands and possibly tens of thousands of protesters across Europe marched on Saturday against continued governmental lockdowns and other pandemic restrictions based on questionable science, which have resulted in mass unemployment, destroyed small business, stoked widespread depression and mental illness, and cost taxpayers trillions to keep the whole ship from sinking. Protesters in London, Germany, France, Sweden, Netherlands, Australia, Belgium, Japan, Vienna, and elsewhere came out for a worldwide rally for freedom. In central London, thousands of anti-lockdown activists were seen walking through Hyde Park, chanting, "Stand up, take back our freedom." But again, this isn't being reported, so, you know, it's not going to build morale if it's being suppressed.
And of course, I have, whenever I get a chance to talk to people who are involved in those, I point out that there's no point in protesting to affect the government. The people who are engaged in the protest have to have as the first premise the government is a secret society that is intent upon genocide of the people. Therefore, why do we protest? Well, you protest to build the movement against them, which really means you have to have the information revolution. And I have just said to every person I can who's involved in any of this that you need to use the demonstrations to organize and to exchange information and basically to arm yourself and to set up a vigilante government that can protect the individuals to the best that it can against mandatory vaccines, against police state tactics. So every country is different, every circumstance is unique, basically, but they're all under the same auspice. These are desperate times, and you have to have a clear-minded approach to every day in terms of how to give yourself the best fighting chance to turn it around, which is to say to remove the government.
Yeah, did you see that Naomi Wolf interview I sent you?
I did. Yeah, it was fascinating, and good for her to be so clear-minded and also to have the right emotion, you know?
Yeah, she, she's a pretty much establishment Rhodes Scholar.
Yeah.
I think, what, Harvard or Yale? I forget where she went. Educated, but, you know, she was a political consultant or strategist for Clinton, 1996. She's written, you know, pretty much a liberal. I have a lot of differences with her key policy questions, whatever, but she's typical liberal in many respects, but atypical in other respects. But she called for the arrest and criminal prosecution of politicians and officials for imposing illegal and unconstitutional lockdowns, accusing governors of treason for their role in the pandemic scam. So to someone like her to say something, I mean, she points in that interview, it was with the International COVID Investigative Committee in Germany.
Yeah.
It's this group of lawyers.
Yeah, that's right. Those guys are very clear-minded, yeah.
Rainer Fulmich, he's a lawyer there, and he's trying to build a legal case. But she, in that interview, she, I think, displayed a rather broad knowledge of the issue. I think she's done the research. She's smart, and she's looked into the problem. And she kind of, I think she made all the connections between the various, you know, the conflict of interest, the sort of this octopus that's out there between these so-called public health institutions, NGOs, foundations, and corporations that are all working together to remake society under the cover of a pandemic. And they're all set to make a whole lot of money. In fact, they have made a whole lot of money. I think increasing their wealth 27% per quarter. That's over 100% a year. It's over, if you project it over the year. And she points all that out, how they're making money off everyone's suffering, their business model, if you will. She made the point where every time you go out, you go to church, or you go to a party, or you a barbecue, family gathering, that's time you're not on the screen wired into their data mining technology. And so they want to destroy all that, so you go online for everything. That's pretty much what's occurred. And if you follow the investment patterns of people like Gates and these figures, you just follow the money, and you'll see what their plan is.
Yeah, I liked the interview. I mean, I don't think she goes nearly far enough, but it is good to see someone with that background beginning the process to walk into the light. I don't know if she's legitimate. I've always had suspicions about her because she's a Rhodes Scholar.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, these guys are very sophisticated, and they like to throw up, to control the opposition with a lifetime actor. But look, a lot of these people are giving us the best information, so,
yeah,
you know, we can make use of them. I think her legal arguments really don't go far enough, because in my opinion, where we are now is in almost every country. In fact, I would say in every country in the West, you have illegitimate governments.
Mm-hmm.
The government has lost its legal legitimacy. They are just kept in place as a street gang.
Oh, when you suspend the Constitution, which they have.
Yeah.
When you issue emergency decrees, and you every 30 days you renew the emergency decree, so you're now post-constitutional, unconstitutional. You have no legitimacy, because the Constitution is the sole basis for whatever authority you presume to have over people. And this constant renewal of emergencies without any basis or any factual basis, they just say it's an emergency. And she made the point, the problem with these emergency powers is there's no legal framework to challenge them once they're declared.
Of course.
You know,
yeah.
It's like you jumped off a cliff. And how do you jump back off? How do you not jump off the cliff? That's what they've done. And so these various governors and officials that are forcing this stuff are committing treason, and they deserve the most extreme penalty for this. And I'm not saying they should be denied due process, but the people have to realize that these government officials are completely illegitimate. They're illegal. They're criminal. Some figure like a Cuomo or Newsom. They, maybe they may be at some point, right? Maybe a little turn. And when that time comes, and they're up on the gallows, I'm not going to shed a tear for them.
Yeah. Well, just remember that when we say due process, we don't have any process at all, due or otherwise, because the government controls the legal system, and mm-hmm. therefore we don't have any, like, well, let's go arrest, Mario Cuomo. I mean, this isn't going to happen. And if it does, even if, some citizen vigilante group can actually arrest some of these criminals, the last thing in the world you should do is try to take them into some sort of court of law where you have, a judge that these guys own presiding. I mean, we have to set up our own legal system. You can see how vast the task is in front of us. But I think, due process is a great idea. But in order to actually have a real process, you have to have a truly legitimate judicial system, which means to say it reflects the will of the people and not of the oligarchs. And so since that doesn't exist, I think really the principle is better to, have in mind is self-defense than due process.
Well, here's the difference is we have the spectacle of all these governors and politicians. They're violating their own oath of office, violating people's civil rights, violating the Bill of Rights, people's right to assemble, free speech, own a business, to live, earn a living, which is just a natural right. In Michigan, here, where a Cuomo and a Newsom probably don't have to worry about being arrested anytime soon for their crimes against humanity, restaurant owner Marlena Pavlos Hackney in Michigan was jailed for keeping a restaurant open. And this was, of course, the work of Attorney General Nussel out there in Michigan.
Right.
And she was arrested because the state government suspended Pablo Hackney's food establishment license in January 2021 after investigators said she failed to obey safety regulations put in place. Of course, the regulations would put her out of business amid the coronavirus pandemic. Again, what's the basis for this emergency claim of a pandemic? According to the suspension order, Pablo Hackney continued to offer indoor dining services and did not enforce mask requirements or social distancing measures at her restaurant. Marlena's Bistro and Pizzeria. Pablo Hackney has countered that she has a constitutional right to operate her business as she pleases, WOOD-TV reported. She also argued on Facebook days before her arrest that the judge who ordered the bench warrant, Judge Wanda Stokes, had abused her power. So, health officials said a patient tested positive for COVID-19 after visiting Marlena's Bistro and Pizzeria. So, really? I mean, you can go back to that. You tested positive. Well, what's the validity? What's the accuracy of said test, the PCR test? What's the problem with that? Was this customer even sick? Was he asymptomatic? It's ridiculous. Allegan County Health Department sent Pablo Hackney a warning on December 2nd, 2020, after learning that Pablo Hackney had kept her dining room open in violation of state regulations. Again, state regulations would deprive her of her business because they'd put her out of business. This is, again, where you have to think this through. The department ordered Pablo Hackney to close operations for 72 hours and to comply with all applicable public health orders. But she refused to do so and then ignored a cease and desist order that was issued on December 30th. In response, the Michigan Department of Agriculture and Rural Development suspended her food establishment license on January 20th, 2021, citing imminent threat to public health. What's this imminent threat to public health? Again, it's an assertion. Prove this. And the thing is, they shut her down. And how does before they even prove that this imminent threat exists, the burden of proof should be on them. Judge Wanda Stokes of the 30th Judicial Circuit Court approved a bench warrant for Pablo Hackney's arrest on March 4th, the Holland Sentinel reported. The warrant was issued on the day after the Allegan County Health Department determined that Marlena's Bistro and Pizzeria customers may have been exposed to COVID. According to health officials, a person who visited the restaurant on February 27th tested positive for the virus 48 hours later. May have been. Palosetti explained on her business Facebook page that the Michigan State Police had given her until March 18th to surrender to authorities, but she wrote that she had no intention of complying. Under no circumstances will I choose to give up my freedom and walk myself into a tyrannical situation. She said that it had been explained to her that she wouldn't be able to post bond until she agreed to shut down her restaurant. I'd be held in jail until I agreed to do whatever the judge says, with no other way of being released. This sounds reminiscent of how the political prisoners were treated in the Soviet Union under Stalin. Palosatny told Glenn Beck that she refused to be intimidated by government forces. She said she believed Michigan authorities had overstepped and abused their power by forcing businesses to abide by certain regulations. So that's where we are. Again, they can just shut her down, and she has no recourse. Of course, I assume she's raising a legal defense fund. But I mean, that's the difference where, you know, she can have a restaurant and someone can claim to have tested positive based on a bogus PCR test, I presume. And then they shut her down as an imminent threat to public health. But a Cuomo can kill thousands of people in retirement homes. Same scandal is occurring in Michigan. Governor, with retirement homes, where thousands were died because of conditions created by the governor's order, executive order there. But again, the full weight of the law comes down on this poor individual who's just trying to operate her business so she can, you know, put food on the table and keep her employees employed. You know, but no. And you have the attorney general, again, arresting her, giving a press conference about it, boasting about it. The very time, you know, cities like Michigan or Detroit are, you know, are a war zone. And that doesn't seem to bother her too much. You know, so.
No, I mean, Nestle is a piece of work. The Soros funded lesbian Jewish DA, mm-hmm. Actually, I thought, went kind of insulting toward the business owner, if you heard her comments. And she was saying, you know, this is no hero. This woman endangered the public. This is, you know, like that. It's like very Trump-like, you know, she went into the political side of it. And this, at the same time, while Whitmore is walking free after having been exposed of having killed thousands of people in retirement homes,
yes,
by deliberately maneuvering in infected pneumonia patients. So there's, you know,
people need to take stock in the situation and look at their governments.
Yeah, you need to take stock. And I think that, you know, she was right to not turn herself in, and, mm-hmm. and she was right to understand that the situation is tyrannical. You get into the very dark decision-making period here, where what is a rational response for this woman and for those who are around her and who understand what she's being subjected to? I mean, where does vigilante action become all you have left? You know, I mean, this is a question that we have to actually start.
Well, the Michigan legislature is Republican controlled, if I recall.
That's a lot of good.
I know. But at the very least, put pressure on legislatures to bring impeachment against the attorney general for abuse of power and the governor. I mean, you can do that too, and you can chew gum and walk at the same time. But at the very least, I mean, where the outrage, the fact that people are tolerating this is. That they're letting their government do this, you know.
Well, there's no outrage because there's no media that you can express outrage in. All of the media platforms are owned by the secret society, and they come up obviously supporting Nestle. And then
this Nestle's the one. She's the one that remember during the election debacle, she was going to bring in a criminal investigation against legislatures who were calling for audit of the election.
Sure,
it's like what.
So you just have, you know, the idea that the Republicans would put up with this is preposterous. They have to have some kind of control over these groups. It's sad to say, but, you know, it's like in California, you can really see it. I'm not familiar with individuals who make up that state legislature, but I'm sure that they have some way of controlling dissent. Even inside the Republicans, so that no one can come forward with a clear statement to the public that, look, guys, the government is in the control of a secret society that's intending to enslave and genocide you, right? That just isn't going to come out of any politician. So the public has to stand in their place and try find ways, pamphlets, the independent media, whatever you can, to get the information out to the public that, look, these lockdowns were artificial, and they are going to be permanent. There's no reason for them except the fact that we are have been enslaved, and this vaccine looks pretty much like the coup de grace. So if we are going to make it for another 5 years on this planet, we have to change behavior. We have to get out of the, I want to comply and get a passing grade on the authoritarian personality test, to warrior status of, you know, how are we going to survive the next week, the next month? Who can you trust? Who can you help? Who can you organize to help defend yourself with? I really, you know, during the first few months of this, I thought there was a possibility that, you know, with an information revolution, there could be political change that would at least slow the thing down. At this point, I think that they have a grip on enough of the population that those that don't want to walk down the path of the vaccine and the, you know, ever tightening lockdown of their personal freedoms, we have to take a different approach. You know, we just have to take a different approach. We have to look to ourselves. We have to see the government is completely illegitimate. It is absolutely illegitimate. There is just nothing left of, you know, the Constitution that is functioning in this country. People, it's just half. We have to start looking to self-defense.
Well, yeah, it's at the same time, you do have like activity at the state level in the United States, because you do have places like Florida
and Texas, for example, which,
Did you see the
news? They're different.
Yeah, I was watching a news report out of Florida, and it showed a, I guess, a riot. It was just a bunch of party goers.
Just spring break free for all.
But they're all black. And then they spun it into a news report about COVID-19. It didn't seem to make any sense. It was almost like Freak Week or something that they have. And what it is a large group of black people young black people, supposed to be in college, descend on a part of a town and create mayhem. And this happens a lot. I think they call it Freak Week or something. But then they reported it. The news report spun it into some sort of problem with COVID-19. It made no sense to me. There's no continuity to the report. It's almost like they spliced together videotape of this riot, of a bunch of black people misbehaving, cops trying to get a handle on it, and then they cited cases again. You know, and then they said some of this had to do with the fact that people weren't wearing masks and Governor DeSantis isn't on board with all the Biden administration's restrictions. It didn't make any sense. The news report itself was like, what did I just watch? There are people watching this? You know, my impression was that you had a bunch of black people going down there, young black people going out for spring break. You were just creating trouble, which also could be a form of terrorism. If you target a community and you destroy its tourist business by doing that, and just by creating this so-called gathering, didn't make any sense. I was like, "What am I watching?" But again, it's almost like they can't cite any deaths or any illnesses, but they say cases going up again, only because Florida is not abiding by the restrictions that the Biden administration wants. You know, with continued lockdown. This stupid mask wearing.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw it as sort of like Antifa propaganda for the middle class, the black rioting and violence is righteous because of the white supremacy that they have to always struggle against. And so for the world to be made better, it has to turn into, you know, a Django movie or something, you know. It's just, so it's, these things are just ham-handed propaganda device. Hopefully they don't have any impact at all on people who have walked into the light and can see them for what they are. Hopefully black intellectuals can see this for what it is and start, you know, working from inside their own community to see if they can produce more reasonable understandings of reality.
Yeah, you're not going to get that within the establishment because that's all.
It's not going to happen within the establishment, which will be encouraging it, of course.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they'll be, you know, demanding that white people take the knee and take the vaccine. So, you know, this is, they control the propaganda, they control the media. To participate, you know, in the media, and I've made this point a number of times, you should only do it if you are using really strong skepticism, so you're not going to be damaged by, you know, this constant propaganda, because the propaganda is so sophisticated that even if you kind of are, you know, not actively buying the narrative, you can be depressed. You can be made, you can feel hopeless because you experience this thing. So the media really should just be avoided. There's no reason to use it for anything at this point, except, you know, perhaps to study from time to time, just to see, you know, what's happening in the process. But other than that, it should just be avoided. The situation in Florida that is more important is that, and in Texas, is that the data in terms of COVID has shown that the opening up of the states had no impact. The states are doing just as well as states that are locked down. And this is because, of course, COVID was simply the flu. You know, it had been designated as the flu in general across the United States. And of course, pneumonia, too. But that season came to an end when you got into spring, and now these numbers are going down. So it's a good time for the kids to, be on the beach. There's no reason. The lockdown is exposed as fraudulent everywhere. But this isn't going to slow the secret society down from ratcheting it down. There'll be a new strain. There'll be a new crisis. There'll be just more and more preposterous fantasies will be thrown at us to justify the extension and the increase in the draconian aspects of the lockdown. I mean, look at the UK. UK is down to like 60 fatalities a day, which they got 65 million people. And these, of course, they're designated as COVID, but we all know this is just, you know, pneumonia of old people and things like that. So basically you have nothing going on in terms of it. And the idea of like characterizing that phenomena as a pandemic, I mean, this is just eye-rollingly stupid, but the public accepts it. The vast majority of the Brits are saying, you know, they're not rioting and stopping the government from, locking down an entire nation where now you cannot travel outside of Britain. What to do? The Brits had some really good demonstrations last weekend. They just have to continue to use the demonstrations as organizing focus points, you know, to try to, like, who's in this for self-defense? Who will come together and commit? One thing I thought was good optic was in Denmark, the police had broken up a demonstration a few weeks before. So last week, the veterans of the army wearing their hats came out and encircled the demonstrators, mm-hmm. Giving the clear message to the police that if you try it, we will resist. That is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, and it's going to take something like that. It's going to take force, unfortunately, because you can't appeal to reason or good faith or duty at this point.
You can do. Now, you have to, really, if like people are saying, well, like, where where are we? You know, because they're in America, especially because we had this fantasy about being in a democracy. We didn't understand it was control. We didn't understand the propaganda. We were in this dream world. Now we're waking up and it's the Matrix, you know. What the heck? What to do? Well, the kind of like the model would be, the most evil king in the Middle Ages imaginable, and you're a serf, you know. So what do you do? Well, you have to overthrow the king. It's that simple. There really isn't anything else that you can do. You cannot reason with the evil king. It's what you know. He doesn't have that capacity. So how do you overthrow him? That's what you need to think about. What can the people do to defend themselves and also to start a process to not just, you know, like try to vote Boris Johnson out of office in 2 years and replace him with someone who, you know, but actually overturn the system so that you get to someone in power who is from the people and not representing them, the banking families.
Well, that's the big thing, is the big question, or at least the big hurdle is when there was a king, you know whose head they cut off. Now with oligarchy and a bureaucracy, and that's maybe gets us to what, you know, we're trying to talk about tonight, is this the institution of public health, and how this network of state agencies, foundations, corporations have interlocked to create this. This maze of public health that supposedly is there to service. Now, most people are familiar with, or most Americans are familiar with, the U.S. Public Health Service and the subset the CDC, and the idea that these institutions were set up to defend or protect public health, contain disease, inform the public, promote, you know, good, clean living and these things. But it's not that quite clear. nor is it that Pollyanna virtuous. It's a lot of politics involved in this. Something like UofL's Public Service, which is the division of the Department of Health and Human Services, of course, supposed to be concerned with public health. It can be traced back to 1798 under a system of marine hospitals that were established as a systems. Scope grew. It was renamed the Public Health Service in 1912. Public Health Service Act of 1944 consolidated and revised the laws and the current legal basis for the public health service. So it's, you know, as this government becomes more bureaucratized and technocratic, medicine becomes more of an expertise, a profession. It's fallen along those lines. Of course, the World Wars expanded its mission. Same thing with the CDC, which is under the U.S. Public Health Service. CDC was created, I think, in 1948 or maybe 46, or maybe during the 40s, sometime to deal with primarily to deal with malaria. But so we have these alphabet soup agencies that were created, and I guess the public is given to believe that, you know, again, we have scientists and doctors ensconced in these agencies or bureaucracies that are doing this job. But we do know that from the get-go, public health or medicine was co-opted by oligarchic interests, namely the Rockefellers. A lot of people understand that, how the Rockefellers came to influence medicine, its course in the 20th century. And now we have a situation where the impartiality, objectiveness of the CDC and the World Health Organization, which is a part of the UN, which the Rockefellers played a big part in creating, are in serious question. Because the CDC has a lot of conflicting interest. Some people call it, basically, it's a vaccine company. It's there to promote big pharma's interest. And you can tell because, at least that's, you get that idea because I think it was Julie Gerberding, who was the head of the CDC, went to work for, was it GlaxoSmithKline or something she went to work for as president of marketing after she left the CDC and cashed in. And same with the World Health Organization, has a lot of questionable relationships with various pharmaceutical companies. It's been exposed to many scandals. What's happened is the people like the Rockefellers, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, as they've come to dominate medicine and its education and its the research involved in medicine, it's been used for their purposes. And so these agencies aren't the public aren't public oriented. And of course, now more recently, we have Bill Gates, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and sort of the conflicting interest or interlocking directorates between his foundation with the World Health Organization, with various universities like Johns Hopkins, connection to Davos, and the financial powers, which ultimately own the pharmaceutical companies. They're guiding this entire pandemic response. In fact, they created it, through Event 201. At least they war gamed it with Event 201. But then the very same people, or many of the same people, were there to announce the pandemic and formulate the response to it. Fauci's connections to Bill and Melinda Gates, and Fauci's history with the National Institute of Health and National Institute of Infectious Diseases and Allergies and these things, and his sorted history and research and portioning out grant money and these things. These agencies simply cannot be trusted anymore if anyone does the homework on them. And the fact that it's rife with the conflicts of interest and also fraud. You have Fauci, Dr. Birx, and Redfield, who's the current head of the, at least was recently head of the CDC, were all involved in the AIDS scam of the 1980s and 90s with AZT. Redfield himself was caught faking studies from a supposed AIDS vaccine that Dr. Birx helped cover up when he was with the Army. So this is the again the institutions that we have that rely upon for public health, but they're thoroughly corrupt. You know, John Rappaport talks about something like the Epidemic Intelligence Service, which is created by the CDC in 1951 to track down contagious diseases, namely viruses. And it's what happens is this Epidemic Intelligence Service, its agents, if you will, people who are trained in it, who are trained to hunt down viruses, then go out and populate various state public health agencies, various public health departments, medical schools, media. And so the information is all controlled. The entire focus is geared towards that one narrow focus of hunting down viruses. And of course, there's much more to public health than hunting down viruses, especially because evidently sometimes often the public health problems or crises we're confronted with or presented with or told that we're experiencing, pandemics, that we're told that it's a virus, it's a pathogen, when often it isn't. It isn't any such thing. It's other things like it's exposure to toxins or overuse or misuse of pesticides or use of pesticides. It's not having access to clean drinking water. It's pollution of that water by industry in this country and other countries, or it's just the consequence of civil war, wars that are stoked by outside powers to exploit a particular country to get a hold of its natural resources on the cheap throughout Africa and Latin America, but we're told it's a virus, and then they create this whole narrative of a virus, of a pandemic. Basically, we're being lied to. No, I had to sum it up. I mean,
yeah, that's absolutely true. I think that it's important to understand that, why there is a medical emergency, that they're using for the implementation of the slave state and genocide. You talked about the Rockefellers, and this is really the template where they, took over control of the medical schools. And now, why did they do this? Why? Because medicine is a built-in sort of work aspect of the workers' paradise, right? People think of doctors and medicine as making them better. They want to believe that, there's a cure, right, for whatever that ails them. So they took over the medical schools, and then from that point on, they started the imposition of chemical medicine. And in my opinion, from the very beginning, the idea was to slowly toxify the population. And if you look at and think about like the degree that chemical medicine has expanded, say from 1940 to today, last 80 years, I mean, what would it be in terms of percentages? Like 1,000, 10,000%? I mean, it's just the growth has been exponential. And yet, if you look at a picture of a beach in 1950 and one the same beach today and look at the occupants, you'll see that the current crop is not just obese, but literally grave ready. They just look so sick. So medicine has failed. And the fact is, it hasn't really. It has succeeded. In medicine, the alphabet soup agencies are part of the Masonic, Judaic Masonic project to basically create a sort of Brave New World situation where you have deltas and epsilons. So we've talked many times about the onset of autism, how it's related to toxicity. That's obvious. The dramatic reduction in sperm count, these obvious indicators that we are being poisoned, and yet medicine does nothing, right, except give us more drugs. And of course, now everyone will have a mandated vaccine. Well, medicine is hard to understand, Tim, and that's one of the reasons I'm sure they chose it as their device for the genocide. It has the camouflage of the workers' paradise. I mean, they're always trying to help us. They're always trying to make us better. The cure is right around the corner. The war on cancer will be won. And of course, there's the hocus pocus, like you say, with AIDS, for example. I mean, how would the public really get to the bottom of whether or not a virus is causing it, or whether it's just the fact that in the bathhouses and the discos, the gays are having a toxic lifestyle, right? I mean, how's the public going to know if Fauci makes a pronunciation that this is nonsense? The person, who brought up the fact that Fauci was an out-and-out fraud was Kary Mullis, who died under mysterious circumstances. I think, he was obviously, in my opinion, pruned. I don't think it's likely that it was legitimate, just so that there wouldn't be a spokesperson to the public alerting them that this whole alphabet soup medical system in America is a cesspool. Last week we talked about, if you want to rebel, the first place is your body. It's been kind of hard for me because I was, brought up with the idea that, you go to a doctor, there's a cure, get these drugs. Took me a long time to understand that was all wrong.
Yeah, for every
And
ill, there's a
just to look to my own,
yeah, for every ill, there's a pill. That's the whole, yeah.
So now I'm, I don't drink their water. I have my own water. I don't eat their food. I have my own food. And I don't go to their quacks and crackpots who are in the hospitals waiting, to give me drugs. I just could care less. If I had cancer, I would just deal with it as best I could in my own way, but I wouldn't turn to them for advice. I could care less. Look, this one thing that is actually good about the lockdown and the whole COVID thing, Tim, is just that it's exposed the whole medical industry as malevolent.
Yeah, I mean, I think millions of people have gotten wise to it now. It hasn't coalesced or been mobilized because into some sort of political force, but many more people are now skeptical than they were, in going into March 2020, and now here we are at the end of March 2021, and that's the positive sign. That's probably the unintended consequence, and perhaps that's how this is going to end. It's what like when Rainer Fulmich, the German lawyer, when he was talking with Naomi Wolf, he said, "Well, they can't win." And what he's saying is, they can't win and they can't win, meaning they cannot be allowed to get away with this.
We have to fight to the death
Yeah,
to prevent it.
yeah.
Exactly. That's what we have to accept. I mean, this is something that is not in the normal consciousness of the, 20th century post authoritarian personality, human. But this is really the truth, Tim. We're going to have to fight to the death. We have to look at every day in that way. There's just nothing else we can do. I mean, they're not going to be reasoned with. I mean, what are we going to do in a year and a half, say? The lockdowns will have continued to the depression, the economy, obviously, you know where that's going to go. There will be food issues. And now suddenly it turns out that, oh, my God, the vaccine has a flaw in it. We made a terrible mistake. And there's going to be an autoimmune response that will probably end all of your lives screaming in agony over the next 6 months.
Well, the problem is,
what are we going to do at that point?
These public health authorities never admit their mistakes. No one ever admits what the polio vaccine actually did, right?
No.
People still think that the polio vaccine ended polio. That's another myth. Or the fact that, you know, that smallpox vaccine ended smallpox. You know, it's these myths that endure because you're just repeated nonstop, and people either don't have the time or the inclination to question it, nor do think they have the competency to question these experts. You know, even though someone like Fauci is just a bureaucrat, he's not even a doctor anymore. He gets up there and starts talking. The moment he's confronted with something, he just retreats into all types of ambiguity. You know, so much for science. He'll talk about the UK variant, and you know, this may happen. I heard one statement where he was talking and he goes, "One thing we know for sure is we don't know when."
Yeah.
I was like, "What?" That it may. I'm like, "What? No, it's just pure conjecture on your part." And a lot of it's just mysticism. It's biological, scientific mysticism, like viruses in many respects. You know, it comes down to it, all these. These public health institutions really protecting us. But again, you see that obviously there's an issue of credibility, there's obvious collusion, and these for-profit agendas that have attached themselves to the CDC and to the World Health Organization. As we said, the Rockefeller family plays a huge part in this, and their agenda in taking over medicine. And all the alphabet of soup agencies, AMA, FDA, CDC, WHO, they're all tied to, you know, outfits like Monsanto, which I think now is Bayer. And, of course, ties us back to, you know, the World Bank and the Bilderberg Steering Committee. And you can draw a schematic, between like someone like Bill Gates, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and his connections to John Hopkins and NIH and
CDC,
World Health Organization, and how everything's being implemented is adding to his balance sheet, and he's getting wealthier and more powerful by the day, buying up farmland. And now we're confronted with a situation where these corporations, they don't even have to pass legislation or regulation because of their control of assets. They can steer society in a certain direction. I just read an article today that a BlackRock that's run by Larry Fink, this Jewish-owned hedge fund they control more assets than the Japan's GDP.
Yeah.
And now with the, you know, and I read an article by, I forget his name, but it was about how corporations are practicing what they call environment. With values and governance or something, some under that acronym. But what happens is just through how they control investment, they can control policy because they can withdraw investment from, say, oil or coal companies and put it in their so-called green energy. And they can implement the Green New Deal without any legislation being passed. So it gets back to that governance issue that we're confronted with the oligarchs.
Yeah, and you know, they've obviously moved a lot of the functioning of government into the private sector.
Yeah.
Since the Gulf War, you know, this process has gone on pretty much relentlessly.
There was Al Gore's reinventing government, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. And it's actually it's bipartisan, a good thing, because I think the public will have less reluctance to storm like a government, I mean, excuse me, a corporate headquarters that once they, I mean, for example, if Moderna could be exposed as deliberately, you know, creating the vaccine to genocide, That would be a nice, you know, kind of obvious target for the you know, pitchforks and torches. But it's all sort of irrelevant in a way, because they're moving it out of government into the private sector. But it's you know, this is, it's really just, they had control over government, and now they're just, they don't need to create the facade that, you know, the Treasury and the Fed are kind of separate and there's arm's length. I mean, now it's just all just the secret society runs everything. And it's out in the open virtually. So, you know, it's to the extent that people can separate from the controlled economy, the better. You know, just it's a very difficult thing to do. I've been trying to do it for over a decade, and you know, we're not even a tenth of the way there. But we are learning to, you know, and in conjunction with other people, to produce food, and certainly our water now is under our own control. So these are steps that you have to take, but you know, ultimately it isn't going to be enough if you can't defend yourself. So that's the question, Tim, is you know, that theoretical moment in time, it's out there. It isn't a total fantasy, you know, where everything has moved against us over the next 24 months. The trends that were established 12 months ago all continue. The lockdown is greater. The mortality rate from the depression, the drug overdoses, these are through the roof. The population is being reduced. The economy is dead. And now the effects of the vaccine start to come to bear. So, you know, that could be the world we're heading to. You know, we have to, if you're someone who sees this as a possibility, you know, this isn't time to be worrying about, you know, how to like invest in your IRA.
I mean,
you've got other issues that you have to deal with, you know, right now. And particularly organizing, you know, particularly finding like-minded people, you know, and areas that have, you know, like I think Florida, I have people here are moving to Florida because it isn't locked down. I don't know if that's going to be a permanent condition. I doubt it. But at least at the moment, it is open. Texas is wide open. A lot of states, you know, are more free than others. And of course, in California, we've got really good and strong sheriffs in some areas. I mean, these are, you know, it obviously isn't enough, but at least it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, the recall initiative too, and at least in New York, they're trying to claw back the emergency power from Cuomo, which really, that's really an indictment of our political system. We're supposed to be a rule of law, constitution, and just how out of control the government is. And there's very little, really, options for the people to respond to this stuff. It's the government's been captured. Yeah, the article I referred to is "The Great Reset is Here: Follow the Money, Insane Lockdown of the Global Economy, The Green Agenda" by William Engdahl. It's the name I couldn't get. But so the top-down reorganization of the world economy by a cabal of technocratic corporatists led by a group around the Davos World Economic Forum, the so-called Great Reset of the UN Agenda 2030, is no future proposal. It is well into actualization as the world remains in insane lockdown for a virus. The hottest investment area since the onset of the coronavirus global lockdown is something called ESG investing. That's environment, social values, and governance. And basically, you know, someone like a BlackRock they have so many assets under their control, and they can pick winners and losers in an economy. And if they have a certain social or political agenda, which they obviously do, these corporations are metapolitical in nature, and for the people of the world and the countries they live in, this is a serious governance issue that they have to confront. Something that really, that the right-left paradigm doesn't address, because we can't rely on private property and competition, nor can we rely on, you know, government regulation and these things. What do we do when you have a situation like this? And they're imposing this sort of neo-feudal order on humanity. Again, people have to become aware of this. And these institutions that they control, you can draw the schematic of the Davos back to these so-called public health institutions, both at the federal, national, and state level. Again, they've all been bought out because this all ties into the World Bank and the World Central Banks too. And so they just pretty much bribe everybody to pursue their agenda. Scientists are whores. They'll say anything for grant money.
Talking
Or
about
most of many of too many of them. We're not all of them, of course. The ones, the good ones, are deplatformed. The doctors, good doctors, are deplatformed. They're.
That's an interesting thing. Because I know people who have young children, and we discuss. I rarely get a chance to go all the way down into, what I think is coherent behavior at this point, but they really have an interesting dilemma because a lot of them are skeptical of medicine, but they have young kids. And it's almost like child abuse if they don't take them in to for their checkups. And when they get the checkups, then they get the vaccines and the drugs and, and then so what do you do? Well, I hate to say it, but you just have to drop out of the system. I mean, this is, you can't, I suppose, give medical advice in good conscience, but this is political advice.
Well,
This is
you
just.
create parallel systems. The more people drop out of it, the more viable parallel systems become.
And there has to be, I mean, and there are good doctors, obviously. But that's so that has to be like, part of the information exchange is who are the good doctors? Who are the righteous doctors that aren't going to vax the kids, that are going to stand up for the health of the kids against the medical tyranny? That's demanding that they take all these drugs.
What doctor would look, just look at the situation and in good conscience inject someone with an mRNA experimental vaccine and assume that it even comes any close to the Nuremberg Code or informed consent? And
Yeah,
this, at the
there
same
are
time,
no yeah there's no legitimate doctor that would ever do that. So
Oh, by
I
the
think
way, I
people.
was reading, oh, I was going through the structure of U.S. Public Health Services, and the principal agent involved in enforcing public health in the United States is the Assistant Secretary of Health. Now, who is our Assistant Secretary of
Dick
Health?
Levine.
So, I
Well, there
mean,
you go. You know that he's
if
really out
you
for the kids.
want to see something that reveals, betrays the complete illegitimacy of the system, it's that guy.
I mean, this is the clown world. I mean,
I
no
mean,
one can even take that aspect of it seriously. But it has a really, it's an existential crisis, for parents as to what to do. I mean, if you're seeing the government and the AMA as malevolent, well, I think it's pretty clear. First you have to learn, how to promote your own immune system best you can, which is primarily, as far as I can see, it's like no toxicity,
Which, by the
right?
way, I've never had heard Fauci, Dr. Birx, or Redfield talk about the immune system and diet.
No,
Never.
never.
That's always
They don't.
what they can jab you with and
Yeah,
see
and
what
pills you can
happens.
take and, proceed. Yeah, it's all this insane. It's Rockefeller snake oil to the nth degree. There's just no reason to even,
But you can't
pay any
patent a good
attention to it.
diet.
But you do, so that you need to find, real doctors, healing people, if you have children. And of course, you have to start taking personal responsibility, I
But
mean.
see, if you did that, Joe, you wouldn't have a medical system which consumes 15% of the GDP every year.
Yeah, that's right. And
That's,
they, yeah, they
now
make us
that's,
sick and then they charge us for the privilege.
And then you have a system that's designed to pretty much bleed you the final years of your life, but they
Have
can't
you ever
tax.
do you ever know anyone who's gone into hospice? Because I've had that experience a couple times in the
Have
last.
some relatives, but it wasn't. It's because they're really near the end of at the end of life.
Yeah, I mean it's actually quite bizarre. I mean, and they just give them morphine until they suffocate.
And I mean, fortunately, my parents both died very quickly, and they were, at home when it occurred. They were never, debilitated for a long period of time or anything like that. So we didn't have that dilemma, to deal with. Because a lot of it, because of the lifestyle of the baby boomers, is that the elderly parents don't have the support structure they would have in previous generations. Just the fact that there's so many nursing homes is something that's odd in my, you know, in the past,
My
people, old
mom is in
people,
a nursing home.
yeah.
You cannot prevent them from giving her the vaccine.
Yeah, and that's, I have a
You have
friend
to
whose
take her
aunt's
out.
in.
Literally, you have to take
Yeah.
her out. That's the only way, because if she's there, they're going to inoculate her. Yeah. So this, you know, these are just the conditions of living in this world. The more independence and the more one can develop a group that has a focus of self-defense and independence, the better.
Yeah.
These are desperate times, and I'm telling you, Tim, they're going to get worse. It's going to get a lot worse over the next 12, 24 months. And so the strong will survive, and I think you're going to see a lot of people that won't. Because just you talk about the vaccine and what could mischief could be lying inside of that. But just think of the increase in fentanyl overdoses. Think of the suicides. As the economy and the currency start to collapse, you're going to get starvation. So the path they have us on, the trajectory we're on, this isn't a fantasy or an illusion. Just the direction we're headed is off the cliff. So the chances of it going off the cliff are good. So it's I'm a squeaky record or squeaky wheel, scratchy record, excuse me. You just have to prepare for the worst here. It's bad. The public, vast majority of them, not vast majority, but the majority are brain dead, victims of Rockefeller medicine and propaganda. And the few, the 25% perhaps that can actually resist, boy, we got to get it together quick.
Well, in Canada now, they've said more people have died from the lockdown than from the disease.
Yeah, that's actually the Canadian Statistical Office.
Yeah.
And I mean, that should be just evidence, self-evident for everyone at this point. The COVID was a nothing burger, and the effects of the disease are catastrophic. They don't even. I mean, they aren't telling the public about them. That this they keep quiet. The cases are the headline. The suicide and the overdoses are invisible.
And again, this is foreseeable. I even said it. It drags out. You're gonna have more people dying from depression, drug addiction, alcoholism, and eventually starvation if they keep it up.
Well, of course, and just think, Tim, going forward, the effects of isolation.
Yes.
People have lost their social lives. People are not developing relationships who are in the prime of their life, young people. I mean, you don't think this is going to, not have an effect of massive depression? And of course, if you are depressed, what are you going to do at this point, right?
Well, this is that I guess that business model Naomi Wolf talked about, where everyone's depressed online, but then the corporations are data mining them. It's obviously it's I mean it's parasitical, and it's actually it's cannibalistic in a sense, because
Well,
it's
they don't think of the people who they have online as being human in the same way that they are.
no.
I mean, this is like Deuteronomy,
But this is, I mean, this is what that goes back to the, I mean, you've done research on the Macy Conference. This is what Norbert Wiener was
Sure.
envisioned, and this is what they've created. They want the whole world to be a Skinner box, aberrant conditioning. That's how they
Yeah, I
view
mean
it.
it's the Macy Conference
Maximizing
just.
Productivity with minimal, input or pay, and that's and. Skinner said you could get, the subject, and this it might have been a bird in his case, to do a lot just for a few bird seeds if you create the right conditions. And that's what they're doing with society. I saw a thing today. My daughter mentioned to me there's a thing online where there's an app that if you keep pressing with your thumb or finger, and stay on it, you win $100,000, and you could do it the longest time. And it's like, really? I mean, really. I mean, I understand why someone might want $100,000 for doing that, but consider the psychological conditioning behind that, that proposal.
Yeah, I
It's
mean, those kinds of
like those.
techniques start.
Remember the dance? I don't even remember, but yeah, I guess it was featured in the movie. They shoot horses, don't they? With Jane Fonda,
Yeah,
Michael Cera,
the
and
dance
the
marathons.
dance marathon. The people are being driven to death because it's a depression. They're desperate for money, and of course they're being ripped off at the end. But I think Gig Young was the guy who controlled the event. But people are driven to suicide because out of the desperation, and this is kind of like the world they want.
Yeah. And so that's the thing. If you're the parent of a young person, someone 12 through 16, you just have to defend their right to socialize.
Yes.
This is part of humanity, being a human. And if you can't just sit there and let the government bureaucrats say, well, they got to be masked, they got to be 6 feet apart, there's no gatherings. I mean, when you take the act of rebellion against those restrictions, you are just literally standing up for the inalienable rights of human beings. Because the right to socialize as a teenager is part of being a human being. And if this is taken away, then it is this is a call to arms,
Yes.
right? So that's what parents need to do. They need to think about how permanent the damage will be in the life of their children, if you permit it. The courage that the bistro owner in Michigan showed, I mean, that should be repeated 10 million times every day in America.
Yeah.
That could have some impact because then they can't govern us efficiently. Then you'll also start seeing this will spread to another 10 million people. So this is the thing, is that you have to be the rebellion. You
Well,
have to
she,
be as brave as
yeah.
the woman was who stood up for her the right to earn a living. Parents have to do the same thing. They
Well,
just
she,
have to make public declarations saying, no, we're not gonna abide by this. We have inalienable rights. They have been violated. We are going to move forward with being a human being.
well, I mean, she saw it correctly. She said, you're shutting down because you're not abiding by our regulations. Well, your regulations, your restrictions are depriving me of my business to begin with. So I might as well run the business and take my chances in court.
Exactly.
Because the
She's very
restrictions are
logical.
ruining her business. I mean, it's
Yeah.
like,
And you're gonna find me. I haven't got any money.
you find
Take all
me. I was
those.
like,
Here's my checking account. I got $50. Take
yeah.
it.
And I mean, it's, and so again, more people have to do that if you own a business. There's no point in waiting around waiting to put you out of business. Unless you just want to be put out of business and rely on stimulus checks every few months. That's the future,
That's not going to work in the long run.
No, because you got
And anyone
to
who, I mean, like you said last week, we understand why they do it, but no, this isn't a plan. This is the time for planning. We still have enough energy, and we have,
Yeah.
more and more people can see the plan. So that the government has against us, we have to come up with one against the government.
Well, what's been exposed in this whole thing is an intricate global network or web of corruption.
Yeah,
And
for sure. Yeah.
so that's what this COVID-19 thing has done. This the corruption has infected virtually every institution that governs us,
Well, the secret
including
society, I mean, if you look at British Freemasonry in the 18th century, they took over all the royal families. They were in India, they were in China with the triads, and obviously they had Masonic control of the United States. So they have worked for hundreds of years to gain control over the political system. They now have it on almost a worldwide basis.
I mean, it's not just it's media, it's these institutions,
Yeah,
education
it's all part of
institutions,
it, yeah.
and that's when you look at that the Gates network. It's a great illustration of that. I mean, you could build an indictment just based on that. I mean, that's kind of that's why when I don't know Naomi Wolf talking about, holding these people criminally accountable for their crime. It is a crime, and not just governors and mayors. I'm talking about oligarchs, and that's a fantasy at this point, but still.
Yeah, but of course, the legal system isn't a thing that can ever hold them accountable because
No.
they control the legal system. So this
Yeah.
is catch 22. This is circular reasoning. Public has to come up with a completely asymmetrical act of justice for these guys, and in doing so, they hopefully can help other people find the courage to act out against them in
Well,
self-defense.
In the past, they've always done, they've done it gradually, right? And that's how they get people to accept gradually. Perhaps something like, a mandated jab is a bridge too far, and that'll spark a rebellion of sorts. That will, but the thing is, these people are in power. What you can't have a system where someone as malevolent as Bill Gates can own a quarter of a million of acres of farmland and control food production. It goes back to the governance issue.
Not if you're buying food from the grocery store,
No.
because this is absurd. It's like literally allowing Satan to control your food, production. I
But
mean,
yeah, even like BlackRock owning more assets than the GDP of Japan, which isn't
yeah.
an
This whole
insignificant
system,
economy.
the whole system is a system of slavery. It is rotten right to the core, and it is a gun pointed at the heart of every citizen who isn't inside the secret
And by the
society.
way, BlackRock was given control of $6 trillion in assets last f in the fall of 2000, sorry, in early 2020, because they're the ones that administered the supposed COVID, the initial COVID relief response to the stock market. It was BlackRock that got
Yeah, I
the
know.
managed those
That cracked
assets,
me up. Yeah.
and
Yeah,
so
you know they're going to help look out for the little guy.
so they create the pandemic, create the market crash, then they're going to step in. They're just given trillions of dollars from the central banks to buy up more assets, and then they can use those assets to promote, ESG agenda.
Well, see, this is the thing, and of course, then they'll stand on the eye of free enterprise and, private property. This is completely ludicrous. It's like the government standing on the idea of like, well, it's democracy when, we rig the election and rig the political parties. I mean, this is the public has to recognize this isn't a democratic process, and this isn't free enterprise.
Well, it's like
This is a system of slavery.
it's what they want for your immune system is, remember it used to be you buy software, and
Yeah.
now you buy licenses, and then you have to buy a license every year from them. Well, that's what they want to do with your immune system. So you won't have a right to your immune system because you have to get an update for having to respond because they've destroyed the innate immune system with the mRNA.
But you better believe that's about to happen. I mean, then believe me, you could, we talked about this last week. It's already in the language,
Naomi
the
Wolf actually
operating
used the term.
system they're putting inside you,
Naomi Wolf actually used the term hacking humanity.
Yeah.
And they're hacking humanity.
They are, well, they have. And you know what? It's just, this is the conditions of our life. And gosh darn it, we just have to screw up our courage and fight.
Well, it's the reality. The world is not as friendly as we're taught it to be.
No.
There'll be monsters out there, and you have to be able to defend yourself against them.
Yes, indeed.
That's
And we have to find the warrior inside ourselves because
Well, gotta be
it's
an
there
adult.
somewhere.
That's the job of adults. The adult world isn't made for easy solution. I mean, that's the problem. Too many adults think it's automatic pilot. I can just, invest my 401k, not think about anything, and go to work. And no, it's not the way. We know that's not the way it's supposed to be because we've let it go that way for too long. And that's why we find ourselves in the position we are today.
Yes, indeed.
So, okay, Joe.
All right, Tim. Well, thanks. Good talking to you, and stay ready. We're going to get them next week.
Yep. Enjoy the weekend. Bye-bye.
Okay, you too, buddy. Bye-bye.